This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Roger Voisinet joins me live in studio. He is Central Virginia's expert when it comes to solar energy, and we're going to spend this half hour getting updated about the latest in green technology, one aspect of green technology, and we'll see if there's a future in it for you. I'm certainly curious about it. Mm-hmm. We hear so much about green technology and solar, but I have to tell you, Roger, when I was a kid, you know, and when you were 30 years younger, we heard that all the time as well. And yet we seem to not have gotten very far in 30 years. Let's start first, though, with when did this come across your desk? When did this get on your radar, this whole idea of solar power, solar energy? And specifically, when did it become something that you really had a passion for and started to get educated about?
Well, I was studying chemical engineering at Miami University in Ohio, and it was 69. I remember looking out the window of my library and thinking, I want to make the sun the center of my life, because it was the beginning, the early stages of, you know, the environmental movement, awareness of the future being a problem. So I studied solar on my own. Then I went to grad school at the Institute of Environmental Sciences, moved to Montreal and did some very large solar projects as an environmental planner with a company up there. And then I moved to Charlottesville here in 77 and started Virginia Solar on the downtown mall in 1979 when they were just putting the bricks down.
Really?
Yeah, second phase.
The second phase, it moved it a little bit west.
To the right west. Next to Miller's, I had my first office there, upstairs.
And it was solar?
Virginia Solar Contracting Services. Dave Watkins and I started it.
Yeah.
Did a lot. We had 10, 12 employees, worked all over the state. And at those days, everybody was interested in solar. We were giving talks all the time at the, you know, Board of Realtors, the builders on the downtown mall. We'd have exhibits. It was a weekly thing.
Yeah.
And solar was in the news. You know, it wasn't too long ago. There was long lines for gasoline, and there was state and local and federal tax credits. And I emphasize the state because we don't have those now. But the credits were a total of 60% of the cost.
Wow.
So the economics were such that if you were going to live in your house for 4 or 5 years, it would definitely be something to do. If you were going to put it on a new house, you could put it in the mortgage. It would be a positive cash flow right from the start.
So you were real busy in the late 70s then.
Yeah, we were busy.
Yeah. And do you remember some of your projects around here in Central Virginia in the early days?
Sure. You can go see the car wash on 29 near the Starbucks there on the west side of the road.
Oh, across from the mall. Yeah.
Yeah. McDonald's. We did a solar system on the McDonald's. Southern Railway Building next to Wild Wings Cafe on Main Street, to name a few.
So you were just putting them up left and right.
Yeah, there was times where we would actually work for Sears and Roebuck up in Alexandria and Arlington, and we'd do two or three a day.
Holy cow.
Yeah, that was the last, I think, 84, 85, 86.
So what happened? I mean, it sounded like we were off and running. We were getting green. And, you know, people were making the investment. The government was making it possible so that, you know, businesses and you know, homeowners could afford to make that investment. It helped private industry.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are 30 years later. What happened?
Under Jimmy Carter, the federal government passed a 40% solar tax credit. But it started in, I think, 81, and it was due to be extended or renewed in 85, at the end of 85. The state also passed one for 2 or 3 years. But at the end of 85, instead of extending it or phasing it out, the government under Reagan and the group just let it expire, which was a really socially poor decision. Because what happened was the United States really lost its lead around the world in the solar business. All the social capital and intellectual capital that all these companies like mine all over the country built up was pretty much lost. And any balance, in those days it was all about balancing the budget. So any balancing of the budget they showed on paper by getting rid of these tax credits they lost in unemployment benefits that they had to give the employees of my company and others, for instance. So
yes.
It was really a tragedy.
And we did, because we were the leader at the time. I mean, we were setting the example for the world on green energy, and then in the 80s we just abandoned it.
Well, now Germany, Japan, Israel, Canada, China, they're all leading us.
Yeah. And now we're trying to play catch up.
We're playing catch up. We still have a very robust industry. Not to say there's not much going on. There's plenty going on, but we could have been much further along, especially in the state of Virginia. We're really behind here. Wherever there's a state tax credit, i.e., Florida, New Mexico, Arizona, North Carolina, Massachusetts, it's not all southern states. That's where solar is really more economical.
And Virginia, we don't have anything?
We don't now. There was a couple bills submitted but didn't pass. So if you're out there and you're a listener, I would say talk to your representatives and get something going for next year, because the federal government extended the federal 30% tax credit for 8 years. So now that's unprecedented. So now we have this chance to build up some real momentum.
Yeah. So why the resistance in Virginia, you think, in Richmond?
I don't know. I mean, maybe you should get someone on who David Toscano may know, because he came to a talk we had at the Omni on renewable energy, and I think he might have introduced one of the bills. So David may know.
Yeah.
It has something to do with the conservative nature of our state. Who knows what happened, and maybe I can talk about that next time.
Yeah.
Look into that.
That is interesting, because to me it seems like a no-brainer, especially these days.
Yeah.
If you're a homeowner and you can figure out a way to make an investment in your home that's going to save you money and be more green, it would seem like government should help to make that possible and give you a tax credit and say, you keep more of your money. If you want to spend it on that, you can have it. It's yours.
Well, there is one development that started with a federal law. The federal law states that utility companies have to produce a small amount of their power through renewable means, or pay a fine, or buy what's called a solar renewable energy credit, which is like a tradable carbon credit. So there's a new market being made, and it just started the last quarter of last year, where if you have a solar water heater or a solar electrical generating system, you can sign a simple 5-page contract, send it to our company, and then we work with market-making companies. There's one in D.C. called Sol Systems. They aggregate all these contracts that represent the environmental attributes of people who have solar systems in their homes or businesses, and they sell that to utility companies. So to make a long story short, you, if you had one, or me, I'm going to get mine soon, we'll have a quarterly check between $300 and $3,000 that's non-taxable, directly paid by the utility companies. So you have three income streams from a solar investment: federal tax credit, which is a one-time 30%, solar renewable energy credit, if you sign this contract, it's sort of voluntary, and then you have utility savings.
Which are very, very real, right?
Yeah. So we're talking solar water heater now, 5-6 year payback, photovoltaic system to make electricity, 8 to 10 year payback, and that's almost 30% sooner than it was just 4 quarters ago in 2009.
We're talking with Roger Voisinet about solar power here in Central Virginia, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Before we go to Chris on line one, Roger, how does it work? You go to somebody's house, and because I know you've been actually to my house, and we've walked around, and yeah. You've sort of said, I liked how you just said these are the options. You know, you can spend a fortune and do this, or you could get into the solar market, you know, just bare bones, and you could do like, hot water or something like that.
Well, I was just at a construction site in Free Union about 3 hours ago met the builder, the owners in New York, measured up the pipe run, showed the guy where the equipment could go, gave him three different prices, told him the timing, wrote a letter to the owner with the tax benefits, and next thing they got to do is say yes to one, two, or three. I know they're going to do one something up there.
Yeah. You can go as little as just hot water to full-blown photovoltaic batteries
I think it's important that for the listeners to know that there's two forms of solar that are popular. Solar thermal, which is making hot water or hot air, which is used for the water you use to shower in or wash your dishes or heat your pool. And then a completely separate technology for solar electrical or photovoltaics, which we make direct current from the sunlight, convert it to alternating through an inverter, and it's tied directly to the grid. Rarely do we get involved with batteries unless they have no grid connection. They want to be completely independent.
Yeah.
Now, the latter part's quite a bit more investment, talking $20,000 to $50,000.
For the photovoltaic.
Right. But we just did two of those systems in July here.
In Central Virginia.
Just went online, yeah.
Wow. We're talking with Roger Voisney about solar power here in Central Virginia, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. One question that I've heard a lot is, do we have enough sun here in Central Virginia for it to really matter? This isn't New Mexico or Arizona.
Right. No, but we have 70% of maximum on the annual basis. And all that really means is if we didn't, we'd just have a bigger array of solar panels or a larger storage tank. So solar works even up in Canada. It really works everywhere.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing. Phone lines are open, 977-1070. How much money can you really save? Like if somebody was just going to do hot water, would just get into the market and set it up so that the sun would heat their water and they wouldn't have to spend so much money turning on and off the hot water heater. How much can you actually save by doing that?
Well, a typical savings family of 3 to 4 would be 65-70% translated into dollars would be $350 a year, maybe $400, depending on how much they use. Obviously, the more water you use, the more potential savings.
Yeah.
And electricity usually yields the greatest payback because that's the most expensive form of heating hot water. Natural gas used to be the least expensive. That's pretty expensive now, though. So we're able to compete against natural gas and electricity. But keep in mind that nuclear power, coal, oil, natural gas, they're all subsidized indirectly or directly by the taxpayers and the government. So that's the only reason solar needs tax credits to compete is because we have to try to strive to be on the same playing field.
Yeah, we've inherited a system where government is already set up to help these existing fossil fuel systems, right?
Oh, sure. I mean, just think about nuclear power. If the government somehow wasn't involved in subsidizing the insurance or the burial and disposal of the waste products or the research, you know, nuclear power wouldn't be, we wouldn't have 8 cents a kilowatt hour here in Charlottesville.
Interesting.
We have about average electric rates, by the way.
Oh, for Central Virginia.
No, Central Virginia has about average electric rates relative to the country.
Oh, okay.
I was just out in California where solar is everywhere and the power is 20 cents a kilowatt hour there, where they have state tax credits. Same in Florida.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Willie's on line one. Willie, you're on with Roger Voisney. Go right ahead. Willie, you with us? Oh, he's not with us. Let's go to John on line two. John, go right ahead.
I am with you. Hi there.
Very good. Very good. Thanks for the call.
You actually partially answered my question just now, Roger, when you were talking about the subsidies from the oil and nuclear. But I would ask this question. Whenever there's a subsidy provided by the government in some fashion, it's not really the government, it's the taxpayer. And might it not be another way to go to figure out how to pull away the subsidies from the competitive and dirtier forms of power? I don't know whether atomic power per se is dirty, but can we not, instead of doing two wrongs to try to make a right, can we not pull away the subsidies from all the other competitors to solar?
Well, yeah, I was thinking of is more of the utility route. In many states, they have utility companies will encourage the consumers to reduce the consumption of their product because it's cheaper for you to put in a solar pool heater or a solar water heater than for them to build another power plant. So the utility companies, which is quasi-governmental organization, but not the federal government, they're starting to offer incentives. That's been a successful route, for many decades now.
Is Dominion doing something like that?
Not really.
Not really their style to say use less power.
Well, they understand the need to reduce or eliminate the need for other power plants, but they haven't come forward with very many incentives.
Yeah, and that really is ultimately the problem that we have being in Virginia. We don't have a lot of incentives for this kind of thing. We're not Florida or California. When, part of my problem, when you came by my house and I was looking at $7,000 or $8,000 to put into a system to heat the water, I really wanted to do it, but I didn't have $7,000 or $8,000, and there wasn't any money there, that a tax credit or anything that could really help me as a homeowner make that investment, because my tax dollars are going to support, coal and oil.
Yeah, and if the payback's over 5 years, I mean, the average homeowner only stays in their home every 5 years, so it has to be at least below that. And you may not have been able to foresee living in your house for 10 years, but I'll give you an example. Someone called me and said, One of my friends in Florida just bought a $20,000 solar system. It only cost him $2,000 after the utility rebates and the state tax credits and the
Holy
federal.
Holy cow.
See, so I like to do the same thing here. I say, well, I'm sorry. You know, you can't do that. I wish we could. But that's how it is in other states.
That is amazing. John, did you have a follow-up? Oh, we already lost John. We got a phone line open at 977-1070. We're talking with Roger Voisney about solar power here in Central Virginia. That just blows my mind that other states are so far ahead of Virginia in recognizing that you can help private enterprise and you can help homeowners by making this possible.
And another good point is the solar industry is creating thousands of new jobs. It's not like we're opening another plumbing company and taking, you know, taking jobs away from an existing company. These are all new jobs. Solar is very labor intensive. So it's an incredible job producer, solar and renewable energy.
And labor intensive how? Because you got to put these things up on the roof?
Well, the cost of a solar water heater, it's a lot. It's four guys out there all day.
Yeah.
It's probably $2,000 of labor just to put a $6,000, $7,000 system in.
Wow. And where are we now with it? I mean, obviously, Virginia is way behind the times when it comes to tax credits, funneling our money instead into oil and coal. But there really is no parity. There's no equity here in terms of putting an investment into solar energy in Virginia. But here in Central Virginia, are you seeing more or less interest these days, despite the fact that
there's more? Dave Norris, our mayor, has been able to bring some funds here to, I think, lend money to people who want to invest. I don't want to forget to say that there's a $15 million DOE grant that's being funneled through the Department of Mines and Mineral Resources, I think it is, in Virginia. It's available to businesses and homeowners, first come, first serve. If you you can get a grant to invest in renewable energy or solar.
Wow.
It's just, I don't think anyone's got it yet, and the paperwork's just being created, but it is out there. So if there's anybody thinking of a good project for an institution or a commercial project, now's the time to act.
Let's go back to the phones. Betty's on line one. Betty, happy little Friday. How you doing?
Hey, hi, Coy and Roger.
Hi.
Okay, I'm, Roger knows me.
Betty Mooney.
I'm all for the citizens getting behind this because I think we need to see the bigger picture. I read an article about China the other day, and they don't have to go through all this rigmarole to get solar done, and they are way ahead of us, and they know this is the future, and they want to gobble up all these jobs and become the leader. And so I really feel our country's, many our economic well-being is dependent on going forward with this, and I just wonder what you guys think about that.
Well, excellent point. During the Olympics, there was a story about a city in China that had 4 or 5 million people, but I had never heard of it, and 90% of the homes had solar on them. However, it was a city where it didn't freeze, so the cost of the solar was a little bit less because the technology was simpler. Because some of the cost of solar is to prevent freezing, i.e. antifreeze and heat exchangers and things like that. But nevertheless, that just gives you an idea what can happen.
That's amazing. Betty, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Roger Voisney, how can people get in touch with you to learn more?
Two websites, SevilleSolar.com and SevilleGreen.com, or just call me at Remax Realty, 974-1500.
There you go. Roger, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Fascinating stuff.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.